Yhteistyössä Helsinki Biennaali, nykytaidetta Vallisaaressa, Esplanadin puistossa ja HAM Helsingin taidemuseossa.
Kello on 15.20. Right now in Helsinki it's 3:20. So with today's interview we are 1 hour later than before, but that doesn't really matter because time is a construction, like gender and so on. So we don't mind about that. I have here through telephone I have me Norwegian artist Sissel Amberg. Hey Sissel, how are you?
Hello, how are you? I'm fine.
Hey, are you at the moment? We had a little talk before I connected the phone to the mixer, but are you right now? Are you in Norway?
Yes, I'm in Norway, but I'm also in Sápmi, in the southwestern part of Sápmi. So I'm both from Norway and Sápmi. And I'm in my studio at the coast by the ocean.
Ah, that sounds like a sounds like an artist studio by the ocean somewhere up north where the light is really beautiful. Sissel, your work in English it's called Sky Skin. In Finnish it's Taivaan Iho. And is the name Hovren Goetie? Is it, what language is it actually?
It's Sami.
Okay.
It's Hovren Goetie. Yes. And it means actually moose skin or elk skin house.
Okay. Mm. The work is located in, it's not in Vallisaari, it's in Helsinki Art Museum. And if I would ask you to describe the work, because earlier in the program I talked about one of the themes of this year's Biennale is shelter, suoja in Finnish, and I thought about that a lot when I saw your work, because there is very much this shelter imagery in the work. If you would describe the work to the listeners, how would you describe it?
It's traditional South Sami tent or house structure covered with dried and pigmented moose skins, which has been with a different text and imagery connected to the cosmology. The dry skins, they are sort of I've been looking at the words in South Sami and how it's connected to sky and words for sky like rains and weather and thunder and rainbows and stuff like that. And then when you have a very freshly skin from a dead moose, it looks almost like the sky. It is completely blue and the fat is like clouds. And I believe that this is what people for a very long time ago could see and connect.
So the blue color in the moose skin, it's not like dyed, it's not like paint. Is it naturally like that?
Well, it's naturally like that when it's fresh, but okay. I have imitated it with a pigment.
Okay.
In the oil. Mm.
Okay, because it's really I have the urge to touch it when I go sort of around the structure, and then I just wanted to touch it and somehow like feel it, but that's I thought that it's not allowed to go and touch it. I'm always like this. I just want to touch and feel things, even though it's not allowed.
I wish you could do that.
Yeah, but hey, tell me more about the cosmology. You mentioned that it's South Sápmi cosmology, or how did you say it when you mentioned it earlier?
Yeah, it's Well, it's South Sami, but of course, Sapmi is in four countries.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say whether it's part of the whole Sapmi, because I think maybe South Sami is more archaic than the Northern Sami, but it has some more ancient concepts still inside the language somehow. So, because of the Northern Sami languages being much more in use and therefore more transformed in a way.
Mm.
But it's connected to the whole Arctic region, sub-Arctic region, where the moose, especially the moose, has been the cosmological animal in a sense.
Mm.
We have in the star stories, the world is every night there is a moose coming up on the night sky, and then there are hunters trying to get it, but they must not actually get it, because then the world will end, because the world is made up by a moose.
Okay.
So,
The holy moose. Or
yes, it's the world made out of the animal.
Mm, okay. Tell me something about your practice, because you are, besides being an artist, you are also a researcher and a filmmaker, and it sounds like your practice is really multidisciplinary or interdisciplinary. I don't know what is the right word to describe it, but tell me something about your practice in general. Do you how do you combine researching and art making?
My research has maybe, especially the last 15 years, it's about the Sami landscape, the language and history, and how it's all interconnected to specific places and our land around us. And I work with language, with history, with local stories, with archaeology, with the landscape formations, and trying to sort of reconnect to the land and also reconnect to the Sami history, because it has sort of been wiped out or tried to be wiped out by the official Norwegian history. And for me, research has to be going through both of the material, all kinds of, the knowledge has to go through the body, it has to be sensual, it has to, you have to use your senses to get to know something. So I don't think it's only an academic way of dealing with knowledge. I think it's that you learn through all your senses and your brain and the connection with people and different kinds of knowledges. And I really believe that you have to feel it and sense it. And yeah, it has to do with the touch, like you said. I wish you could touch.
I think it's extremely interesting when you talk about language and then reconnecting, and what is the sort of the relation between some things or maybe emotions or ways of thinking that are archived in certain languages, even though the culture may have been almost wiped out or maybe deliberately forgotten, but then it doesn't disappear from the language. There's something always there. What have you found out about sort of these examples from the language that still preserves this kind of knowledge, or maybe some oral histories when it concerns the South Sapmi?
I think In South Sami, there is many words that you you won't find in Norwegian, because Norwegian language is not so specific, and South Sami is, for example, very specific when it comes to landscapes, you know, like a specific form of a valley with a specific kind of trees and plants, and specific rivers have certain names, and the specific mountains, the way it is, has very specific names. And also there are words like one very interesting word is like the verb for to have a vision in dreams, which in Sami is volverit. And the one who is having visions in dreams is the volva. And when you look at the sagas, which was written down in Iceland and around, the very old one, which is called the saying of the Volva. I think you can find that maybe some of those stories were written in that language, but it was not Norse or Germanic stories. It was, some of them were Sami stories. And I think when you look at the sagas, you see that most of the time this visionary, the Volva, is Sami women, but it has sort of been taken out of the story. And but in Sami language, the word is there still, and it doesn't exist in Norse or in Norwegian or Icelandic or Swedish, but in Sami it does. So I think that's a way you can see that there is history preserved within languages.
Yeah, I think that's super interesting. It's also very inspiring to think about like my own language or some other languages and how they sort of broaden the way people think about things. For example, you said about how many words there are for nature, for example, in South Sapmi, and then maybe none in Norwegian, or maybe it's just a valley in Norwegian, and then there are probably 10 different words in South Sapmi to describe it. And I think that tells a lot about the way people see the world and how they grasp it, and what are important things and what are the values, and so much.
And I think that's why it's so important to preserve languages, because they are also ways of seeing the world. And when languages like the South Sami is a very endangered language, where maybe 2,000 people speakers on Norwegian and Swedish side, and I guess in Finland there are no South Sami speakers anymore. And then I think we lose the many different worlds through losing languages. And in Sami, we are connected. Everything is connected. Mm. Animals and humans are sort of it's not so big difference between us. So which is very different in some of the more imperial languages.
Yeah, it's true. There are also in your work Sky Skin, Taivaan Iho, which is part of the one work, part of the Biennale, Helsinki Biennale. There are also language there. There are languages, a plural world. There are some Sami words or sentences, and then they are translated into Norwegian and English, so it's sort of people can understand the sort of dialogue or the story or the narrative a bit deeper level.
Bit better.
Hey, Sissel Amberg, I want to ask you, what are you working on right now? What kind of plans or visions you have? What are the works that you are working on at the moment?
Right now, I've come to finalize a drawing installation about the rivers who are entering into the Trondheim fjord, and how they are connected to the naming is connected to Sami. And also at the same time, I'm working on a film which is about a small mountain next to Trondheim, which has been turned into a castle from the Norse kings. And then I'm looking at how the researchers who sort of told the story about the castle of the Norse king, how they went about and what's their, looking at their so-called facts and sort of decomposing the stories.
Okay, sounds interesting. The Helsinki Biennale is open 2 weeks and maybe 4 days after that. So will you come to Helsinki still to sort of maybe check out your work or pack it back to your studio? Or do you have plans to visit Helsinki after this?
No specific plans to visit Helsinki at the moment.
Yeah,
I wish. It's a very beautiful place. Hopefully I'm coming to Finland next year for a residency, but not Helsinki.
Okay, that's sounds great as well. Hey, I hope all the best to you, Sissel Amberg, and to the listeners, this interview, as also the other interviews where Helsinki Biennale artists have been. You can listen to them afterwards in radiohelsinki.fi. Hey, thank you, Sissel, and all the best.
Thank you, and all the best to you and the listeners.
Yhteistyössä Helsinki Biennaali, helsinkibiennaali.fi.